The second reading comes from the Old Testament book of Kings. Once again, let us hear the word of the Lord. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the Wadi Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the Wadi, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the Wadi Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the Wadi. But after a while, the Wadi dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake. Make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. And after this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from her bosom, carried him up into the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Let me say that again. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." The word of God for the people of God. It is truly a blessing and a privilege to be among you as my wife Grace and I offer greetings and blessings from your siblings in the faith, in the 37 congregations and fellowships, worshiping communities and affiliated nonprofits here in Santa Clara, Monterey, and Santa Cruz counties, all of whom, all of us, are the Presbytery of San Jose. It's been 5 months since I began this call, and I'm loving it. Love, 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 L-O-V-E, love it. Love, love, love. Love this Presbytery and love this ministry. I never thought that I would ever be a mid-council executive for more than two decades of ministry. Many colleagues suggested that I apply or to enter search processes as executive presbyter, and I resisted it. So it was Holy Spirit to have me come here and for my wife and I to move from San Diego County, and it is really a joy to be among you and to be in service to the gospel here at this presbytery. And Jack, thank you for your hospitality and for your welcome, and to all of you in our common ministry together. Please join me once again in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditations and thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. For it is in Christ we pray. Amen. When was the last time that you felt like giving up, where you were losing hope? For many who are considering sitting out this presidential election and not voting, it comes of this dreaded sense that their vote might not count. Or even if they voted, somehow feeling it won't matter because the country will still be polarized. Millions will still be unhoused. The gap between the wealthy and the rest of us will widen. Wars will still rage in Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Gaza, Lebanon, Iran, South Sudan, and in so many places. For others, the election in the next 48 hours is far from their minds as they or their loved ones sit on the brink of death or of a health scare. For some, survival is on the front burner, the back burner, and everything in between. For others still, the increasing numbers of amber-colored cylinders in the medicine cabinet is what is on the forefront of one's mind. For those whose marriage is on the rocks, the question of hope is not an abstract philosophical or theological category. And for another, with severe depression, with suicidal ideation, this message of hope is thin. Hope is in the rearview mirror and seems to be fading by the second. Celtic Christianity speaks of thin places, the space where the distance of heaven and earth is small, where you can feel, experience, and glimpse heaven on earth, or what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's in the thin places where we sense the palpable, tangible presence of God, the unmistakable, undeniable love and grace and majesty of God. When our lives and the world around us, and certainly the images and stories of real people struggles, eclipse what heaven on earth ought to be, we strain for glimmers of those thin places to get us to another day, to offer hope in the midst of despair, to show the way when there seems to be no way. Sometimes those thin places are not so much peaceful or tranquil places, although they can be. Grace and I are heading tomorrow morning to Geneva, Switzerland, for my study leave, where I'll be presenting a paper on the Nicene Creed at the World Council of Churches Ecumenical Institute at Basse. Geneva is one of my thin places, with the Swiss Alps and Jura Mountains surrounding it, decadent chocolate, of course, and savory cheeses and exquisite wine. Why not? And did I mention the archival library of the World Council? But sometimes, those thin places where heaven and earth's distance is smaller and nearer can be in rough places, in places of great challenge, where death and the shadow of death are real, where the presence of God is magnified because a situation is desperate and only God can keep us alive, or only God can usher us into death. Like the hospital room of my maternal grandmother at Seton Hospital for 5 years as she laid there many, many years ago. In the loneliness and solitary space of my own prayer life, where I pour out my heart to the living God about many people, family and friends and neighbors and strangers, colleagues in ministry, churches, faces of church leaders around the world with whom I visited and who are mired in war and desperate times. The prayer room where you are near and in the heart of God is a difficult place to be. As you seek to join earth and heaven, if it be possible, pleading with God to show forth God's mercy and grace to you and for those whom you pray for. The prophet Elijah's ministry is so much about pushing the boundaries and apprenticing us who read and listen to the story to what God desires for us in our own lives. Elijah's word to King Ahab is that a drought is coming. And indeed, the wadi, the brook, will dry up. God's provision is impermanent. Even in places where we would want there to be, there the water source dries, even after it provides temporary sustenance for the prophet, even having a raven provide him bread. The Lord then deploys Elijah to go to Zarephath, which is near Sidon, which is several miles away from present-day Beirut, Lebanon. And there he makes a boundary-breaking request to a widow, interrupting her errands as she's there to collect sticks with a few supplies of flour and oil to make bread for her and for her son. Elijah makes an inconvenient, astounding request to her to use what little she has to make some bread for him and for herself and for her son. Now, I don't know about you, but if there was a stranger who came to me and made that request, I'd be like, you've got to be kidding me. Are you serious? I don't even know you. And you're asking me to take the little of what I have to make a little for you. And you tell me that the Lord will make sure it doesn't run out? You've got to be kidding me. You're crazy. But did you see that thin place? Sandwiched between verse 14 and verse 15 is that thin place of where we don't know what caused the widow to do what Elijah asked. It jumps from one quote to then saying she did what Elijah said. All we see is the consequence of her actions. She and her son and her household ate for many days. Then there's a next encounter. Her son dies, and she wonders, why has Elijah come? Elijah playing these games, first testing about the food supply, and now playing around with the life of her son. We detect the thin place. Did you see it? Sandwiched between death and the pathway to life was the word of the widow. The word of the widow to Elijah, and then Elijah's petition to God to restore life to her son. It's the widow's word as the thin place. The woman's epiphany, her declaration is reminiscent of that centurion guard at Jesus' crucifixion, "You are a man of God," where the Roman centurion said, "Surely this is the Son of God." It's often in retrospect, after the fact, that we see God's hand and God's presence when we missed it. The thin place, the thin veil in Zarephath needs to open, as in the times in Lebanon and Gaza are growing desperate by the minute, as is the situation in South Sudan. In our lifetime, in the next few months, we may encounter one of the first and most monumental humanitarian crises if ceasefire and aid does not come soon for both places. We pray for food and bread and water and restoration of life to come. Zarephath, Lebanon, can't merely be stories of long ago. We plead here in Palo Alto, California, that the hope of God and the God of hope will come in tangible and real ways. Suffering and struggling and hungry children can't eat hope. Hungry people can't eat hope. Thirsty people can't drink hope. They need food and water and medicine and safe shelter over their heads. While our kids will have a Thanksgiving break, hundreds of thousands of Gazan children have not even been in a classroom for more than a year. Where is your thin place? Again and again, we encounter thin places where the distance of heaven and earth is small, where they almost become one, where the presence and power and promise of God are there. Moses going up to Mount Sinai and coming down with the Shekinah glory of God. Noah hearing God's voice. Abraham near sacrificing Isaac on the altar. These are thin places where the veil separating seems to tear and where God is reaching to speak to us. Queen Esther, in her doubt, receives that right word at the right time. You have been called, Queen Esther, for such a time as this. The thin place of Rahab's house as she provided refuge for Joshua and the spies. The thin place of Mary receiving the Holy Spirit and assurance from the angel. The thin place of even a wooden tree upon which the Son of Man was lynched with violence, spat upon, where the powers and principalities of the world hung him to dry and die and wither. The thin place, yes, of a dark tomb, devoid of life, full of dead death. The thin place of a stone slowly being creaked open for sunlight to shine in and new life to emerge. The thin place of the table, which C.S. Lewis at the Chronicles of Narnia depicts so beautifully, of Aslan the lion being placed on the table that cracks in half. We return to these thin places because there, hope is still. God is here. God enables us to still pray. Our Orthodox Christian siblings have a powerful and robust theology that says even if there is one human being still left to pray on planet Earth, then all is still well. Or the Reformed theologian from Switzerland, the late Karl Barth, reminds us, prayer is the beginning of a revolution. Or a theologian before him, John Calvin of Geneva, who wrote, We should ask God to increase our hope when it is small, awaken it when it is dormant, confirm it when it is wavering, strengthen it when it is weak, and raise it up when it is overthrown. Might it be so. Amen.